The majority had careers that could only be considered ordinary, and a surprising number ended up with careers that even Terman considered failures. Nor were there any Nobel Prize winners in his exhaustively selected group of geniuses. His fieldworkers actually tested two future Nobel laureates as elementary students, William Shockley and Luis Alvarez, and rejected them both. Their IQs weren't high enough. In a devastating critique, the sociologist Pitcham Sorokin once showed that if Terman had simply put together a randomly selected group of children from the same kind of family backgrounds as the termites, and dispensed with IQs altogether, he would have ended up with a group doing almost as many impressive things as his painstakingly selected group of geniuses. By no stretch of the imagination or of standards of genius, Sorokin concluded, is the gifted group as a whole gifted. By the time Terman came out with his fourth volume of Genetic Studies of Genius, the word genius had all but vanished except for the title. We have seen, Terman concluded, with more than a touch of disappointment, that intellect and achievement are far from perfectly correlated. In other words, what I told you at the beginning of this chapter about the extraordinary intelligence of Chris Langan is of little use if we want to understand his chances of being a success in the world. Yes, he's a man with a one-in-a-million mind and the ability to get through Principia Mathematica at 16. Yes, his sentences come marching out one after another, polished and crisp like soldiers on a parade ground. But so what? If we want to understand his chances of succeeding in the world, we have to know a lot more about him than that. Chapter 4, The Trouble with Geniuses, Part 2.